You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Boy, it's been way too long, guys. I am very excited to do this, by the way. Have I done a lot of research into the Packers? I'll be honest.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. This is your host, Dusty Evesley.
Nailed it.
I was so hoping you were going to still continue rolling with the whole John thing, Dusty. I would have just absolutely lost it.
Oh my goodness.
Guys, I'm back. I am your long lost podcasting friend, John, and I am back. How's that make you guys feel that I'm back?
I was feeling good until like 10 seconds ago. I was really on board with it until just recently.
Until I started talking and then it just goes south.
Yeah, that was about it. Yeah, about the time.
I feel warm and fuzzy like I'm at a fireplace in the middle of January.
Ooh. Yeah. That sounds like you're on top of the world, actually.
Are you in the fireplace? Did I hear that right? Like, actually in the fireplace?
I think I said bye.
We're okay. Walking through the flames right now, if I'm being honest.
Always.
No, let's put it this way. I could have came in sounding like Jordan, and you guys probably just would have signed off, and this episode would have been over. So, Jordan, guys, by the way, we've heard both of you guys' voices. Jordan is not with us. He is on a little bit of a vacation right now. So we will
vacation
sort
from
of,
his problems.
Yeah. We'll sort of miss him, but in a way we definitely won't.
You know, we've made jokes in the past few episodes where John, you've been gone about you know, your job being threatened by Jordan's voice and Dusty's ability
Holy
to host
buckets.
But I think Jordan's job is in threat just against like dead air.
Yeah,
I think most people would rather hear dead air.
It's quality of work too.
Oh, put that poll out
as well. Guys, I have very exciting news. This is episode number 49 for us.
It is.
Woo woo.
Okay, and I say that only to say that we have gigantic plans for episode 50. And for all of you that tune into us idiots week in, week out, we appreciate you guys, and we hear your voices, and you want the big names. Oh, and we got them. We're talking about people like KGB coming in. I think I may have even screwed up his initials. It's possible.
By the way, we're not talking about Kabir Baja Biamila. We're talking about the head of the Russian KGB.
Yeah. I thought it was like John's friend. It was like Kenny Jane Bryant or something. And like, oh, well, yeah, it's KGB.
No, Vladimir Kristic will be here.
How many
I don't
James
know. Like,
do you know, start with G?
One now, apparently.
Just your friend. That's it.
It's
I don't like
thing.
That John's back anymore. I don't like that.
it's a new thing that's taken over the world by storm.
Dusty, I think we had a good run. I think we should just shut this show down at 49.
Right before we hit 50. I
this
think
is,
smart
you know what?
Move.
We went smart for move. It. We had fun while it lasted. And we allowed it.
Either of you boys in person, and I think that's fine. So yeah, I think we'll just sayonara.
We didn't vaccinate our podcast, and now John is here, and he is killing us.
Mm-hmm. If I don't kill this show, I feel like I'm not doing my job. So
it's why we signed you up, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. You guys are always a breath of fresh air in the wind beneath my sails. And I have missed you guys, to be honest. And I do very much enjoy this. So don't take it that I don't enjoy this. It's good to feel back. And while I'm back and while I have the floor, I need to ask you guys a question.
Please do.
This Saturday night, something is going down in the sports world that some people, I don't know if it's full on true or not, but some people are calling this the fight of this century.
It's not. I don't care.
And I don't think it is either. And you say that you don't care, but I need an answer.
Wait, it's finally Brian versus Jordan?
Finally. It is Brian versus Jordan.
It is. And like I'm finally going to be able to fight Jordan, but I just don't care. It's just, it hasn't grabbed my attention.
It's a lumberjack match, and everyone that's listened to us is going to be around the ring, and they're just going to keep him in the ring, and it's fight to the death.
I didn't know that. Now I care. It's going to be a lumberjack match.
There's a lot of peers that are going to be surrounding the stage, so there's a lot of pride on the line.
Oh, man. As long as Triple H is out there, man.
He's always there. He does.
What do you mean, does he? Of course he does.
Yeah.
He's from Connecticut, so he's a huge Packers fan.
It's time to listen to Pack to the Future.
It's all about the game. Oh, my goodness. What an icon. Guys, Absolute legend.
Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. Give me your thoughts. Brian, does Conor have any chance to beat Floyd?
I don't care. Like, I find Conor McGregor to be entertaining, but he's a terrible person. And so is Floyd Mayweather. And just, I'm glad that I'm hoping that they just kind of both get the crap kicked out of them, because they both deserve it. But I just don't care. I don't.
At least pick a winner.
It's probably going to be Floyd Mayweather. It's just boxing, it's right? Safe. It's not.
It is just boxing.
It's not MMA. It's just, yeah. Okay. See, no. If it was MMA, I might say Conor McGregor, but I don't think he's ever been known for his boxing. He was always. I don't know. I don't care, but I would guess that it'll be Floyd Mayweather, and probably it won't even be close.
So if you guys couldn't tell what Brian's answer was, this is my impression of Brian. I don't care.
Oh man,
I'm going with Floyd.
You guys listen to Decemberists or anything?
I don't know what you guys know about being emo, but it is really cool not to care. And I am always have been and always will be just straight up emo.
Dude, you're so vampire right now.
So it's vampire. Ridiculous. Yeah, right.
I love it.
Yeah, Dusty? Right. I'm straight up goth.
Hey.
Dusty. Hi, Dusty. Hey. Hello. Hi. Nice to see you. I can see you right now.
Yes.
Dusty, do you have any caring about this fight on Saturday?
Hello.
I'm kind of excited about it. I thought you were going Lionel Richie, but you went Adele and you threw me off. I'm kind of excited about it, but only because I want to see if it's going to be a train wreck. Like, there's a chance McGregor wins, but only because, you know, whatever puncher's chance, like, he could land one hit. But Floyd's too good. He's been boxing too long, and McGregor, like, just can't throw punches against a sandbag. And, like, well, here's what I want to see. I want to see McGregor land some punches, like, enough to bloody up Floyd a little bit. At least enough to, like, kind of make him uncomfortable. And then he forgets himself, and then the fourth round, he just kicks him straight up in the head. But McGregor's bloodied up too, because Floyd's kind of beaten on him a little bit. And then it ends with McGregor getting disqualified for kicking Floyd Mayweather upside the head. Like, just hitting him straight out with, like, his shin or something. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, that's not going to happen, because what's going to happen is McGregor, who I don't think has ever gone past, like, three or four rounds in UFC, is going to be exhausted, and Floyd's just going to string him along for 12 rounds. Like, the last two rounds are going to be McGregor just walking around like a zombie with his arms by his side, and Floyd's not going to touch him. I think it's going to be boring, but I also think it's going to be super interesting, and it's going to be the reason why no UFC or MMA guy ever comes over to boxing ever again. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be it's going to be a disaster, and I'm excited about it. I'm not going to pay for it.
This is a $1 million baby situation, and I'm cheering for the stool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like your idea, Dusty, about Connor just like bringing that foot around and just clocking Floyd across the
just
head, like
right upside. The
only
head,
way it'd be worth
Connor's,
it.
Connor's already walking out of there with like 50-some-odd million dollars. Mm. It's like what's there to freaking lose?
It's just
at this
with
point?
The cameras, like the level of cameras they're gonna have there. Can you imagine just the slow-mo gifs that we're gonna see of just Floyd's face getting kicked? Like you'll see like the cheek moving slowly. It's going to be incredible. So That's all I'm hoping for. Like I want the fight to happen just so I can see like a 10-second slow-mo gif of Floyd getting his face kicked. Like that's what I want.
We need another one going around the internet instead of Ronda Rousey. That's now old. We need the new one.
Dude, that was old like 6 months ago.
Yeah, every time she fights now, apparently. But no, I really am looking forward to the fight. I think I'll say share the same enthusiasm as Dusty is. I think it's gonna be worth watching. I mean, at least the first five rounds I think are gonna be very entertaining, and I think that's about as much gas as Connor probably has in the tank. But
seriously,
that,
to me, you saying first five rounds just now sounds to me like, Brian, it's okay, just watch like the first 50 laps of a NASCAR race. Like there's just no way I can do it. Look, I'll open Bleacher Report on Sunday morning when I wake up early to watch soccer and see who won the fight, but that's it.
I mean, you want to know why I'm watching the fights? Because I'm watching it with my family and my friends, and that's what it's about.
Oh, now
it's
you're going to get all sentimental and make
me
feel
bad. Yeah, I know.
And
I know. It's about spending time with the people you care the most about, and that's what goodness. I try to do every day of my life.
There's a Packer game Saturday night.
Right?
I'll be watching that.
I'm being
that.
Very serious. Being very serious right
super
now,
super duper serial.
Remember, pick Israel. Well, guys, with that being said, an introduction, pretty much what I would call a great success so far. We have.
Is there anybody still listening? Just raise your hand, anybody.
Absolutely.
John's
not.
Back, guys. The world is listening. we do this thing where we talk about the Packers sometimes, and I know Yeah, every once in a while we will do that. And I think now is the time to dive into what's been happening in the preseason so far with the green and gold. And I mean there definitely has been some things happening. And as we progress to the last couple weeks here of the preseason, this is kind of the time where cuts are starting to get made and roster starts filling itself out, but I'm going to take my attention away from that for a second, and I want to focus on what happened to Brian Bulaga. He picked up an injury. We're not quite sure how serious this injury is going to be. And say this injury is going to be something that keeps him out long term, what is going to be the Packers' game plan as far as that goes? And I will open this discussion up with none other than Mr. Brian Ranfara.
That's the closest anyone has ever gotten to pronouncing my last name correctly. Thank you. Basically, if Bulaga is out, the in-game tactics turn into spray and pray, where Rodgers just has to get the ball out quickly and hope that it gets to the hands of a receiver. And I'm basing that off of... I like Murphy. I really do. But he's raw, and I don't think he's ready at this point. I think Spriggs would probably end up being the starter and think he would do a lot better of a job in a full-time starting capacity than he did in his just terrible performance this past preseason game in Washington. He was bad. There's no way to sugarcoat it, but I do think he would end up being the starter. I think they would trust him more. I would count on him giving up one or two plays like that each game that he has to start. And, you know, just a couple plays where you have to wonder if Aaron Rodgers' head even stayed attached to his neck. So, yeah, it turns into, you know, from the last couple years where Rodgers was able to hold on to the ball for 7 seconds at a time and find that open receiver, that goes out the window as long as Bulaga is out. And it turns into, you know, we go back to a few years ago when they had that alarm in training camp that after 2.5 seconds, Rodgers has to throw the ball. And we're looking at something a lot more like that.
All right, Dusty, what are your thoughts on this?
Which, I mean, all the stuff you said, like, I'd be cool with. Like, I'm not cool with Rodgers getting his head detached from his body, obviously. But
which would probably like happen.
if it forces them to have to go a little more up-tempo, like, that was when... That's when they really took off again last year, when they really found their rhythm. I know it was in Philly. They went to Philly. Philly's pass defense was dynamite. Rodgers went quick hitting. I watch replays from that game all the time. That beautiful. Offense was unstoppable. They're going slants. They're going drags. It was just he'd get to the top of his drop and that ball was out of his hand. So if it forces him to do that, I'm fine with that. Like, that'd be cool. But at the same time, I don't want to do too much here because this is something I was going to talk about a little later as well. But I mean, you just look along that offensive line, and Brian, you mentioned either Spriggs or Murphy. Like, you're right. Like, Spriggs probably would be the starter, I would think, in that situation. But just watching him, like, his feet in concrete and trying to literally tackle guys running by him and not even be able to do that. Like, that's a terrifying proposition for the right side of Rodgers. And it's even more terrifying when you look at the changes on that offensive line. I mean, it's... That would put Spriggs or Murphy at right. Neither one of them I'm super excited about at the moment. Right. Evans at right guard, which he seems fine. He's been good, but he's 34, and he's not really played on this line before. Lindsley, history of injuries with Barclay behind him. Taylor, who was also injured. Taylor, who's fine. But, like, he showed out better last year than I thought he was going to. Yeah. But I think that was because he was playing between two great players. And then Bakhtiari, like, who was obviously great. Just obviously the best lineman at this point. It's like, it's to me, it's Bulaga and whoever sits in for him. If Bulaga can't come back, that's scary. What's also scary is the offensive line as a whole is also a question. So it's if Bulaga has to sit out any period of time. I'm not talking about one or two games. I mean, that Seattle game week one is going to be terrifying without Bulaga. But if he's missing half the season, that's going to be horrifying. But I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Like I said, I mean, that's bad. You obviously want a good offensive line, and that's not a good offensive line without him. But if it forces him to go a little more up-tempo, maybe try to rely on the running game a little bit more, I'm also cool with that. I don't think it's going to kill him if he's out, but it's going to make things a lot harder than they are. Especially that first run of games, they got a tough schedule. If he misses a lot of those, that's going to be tough. That's going to be hard to overcome.
Yeah, and you know the offense worked best when that holding onto the ball for 7 seconds thing wasn't a necessity because nobody was open, but it was a fallback option when the first play wasn't there and Rodgers could find something new. And you know, that's where our offenses peak anyway. You know, having Spriggs or Murphy in there for an extended period of time, you can put tight end help over there. You can, you know, we have some really good blocking running backs that you can help chip pass rushers on his side. You know, none of it is going to be, no matter who's playing, none of it's going to be as bad as what we saw from Spriggs in this last preseason game, because they're going to be able to game plan for all of these things and they're going to be able to account for it. And, you know, I wouldn't hit the panic button by any means. Like, Bulaga is pretty much irreplaceable at right tackle, but I definitely wouldn't go as far as to hit the panic button on our whole season.
Well, I don't want to stick on the point too much here either, but I mean, with the way the offense is set up, which is what we've talked about, I mean, they've got more weapons now. If they need to get it out faster, they can. Between Bennett, you know, Bennett kind of opened the middle. What Adams, the step Adams took last year, Nelson another step removed, Cobb healthy, Montgomery out of the backfield. That offense is set up in such a way that if they have to do quick hitting, at least a couple of those guys are going to be able to get open. Where they ran into trouble is when Nelson was hurt and Richard Rodgers just runs like a turtle. And like they couldn't really get Cobb's ankle was injured. They couldn't really get separation. They're set up now to where I think if they need to do that quick hitting stuff for a few weeks, I think they could get by doing it because they've got the pieces to be able to do that at this point.
Agreed.
Is it too soon to call Spriggs in the second round a bust of a pick?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Everybody was calling Adams a bust 2 years ago. Everybody was calling Demaryius Randall a bust a year ago. Like, dude, sophomore slumps are real. They happen all the time. You can't you know, he may well end up being a complete bust, but it's way too early to tell. Like, he showed signs last year.
Spriggs at the time was also drafted as a, we don't need this now.
Right.
But we can turn him into utility lineman. We basically have at least a year or two before we're going to need him to start, barring injury.
Exactly.
Barring a couple injuries, I guess, when he was injured, when he was starting, mm-hmm. or when he was drafted. So, I mean, he wasn't brought out on a starter right away. It was always known it was going to be a year or two before he was able to reach his potential. Yeah. So, I think it's too early to call him a bust. I still think he has talent. It hasn't showed out great so far, but like Brian said, he had moments last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's way too soon to call him that.
Even playing out of position at guard, yeah, it's way too early to call him a bust.
Now, I say all that, but if he starts at right tackle against the Seahawks and he gives up like 3 sacks in the first half, I will be yelling at the TV. Whether I actually believe it or not, I will be yelling that.
It'll be all over
Twitter.
He's
a bum, but a bum.
But there were also a lot of tweets going around in the past week that Bakhtiari is garbage. And like, dude, yeah, you guys, are you serious?
How can you justify that?
I did not see that.
You can't.
I'm upset.
It's an unjustifiable comment.
It is. Twitter, it's fickle.
Speaking of sophomore slumps, is it safe to say that maybe this is a sophomore slump for Joe Callahan, or is Taysom Hill just the possible third quarterback on this Packers roster? I don't know. I'll toss it up to the expert panel.
Look, I don't think it's really a sophomore slump for Callahan. I think he caught fire when nobody knew what to expect from him last year, and he caught fire when McCarthy found ways for him to look good in the preseason. But, you know, when we cut him and he went to the Saints, he didn't do anything there. He was only there for a couple weeks, and they felt comfortable cutting him again. He's back in Green Bay for a reason. He's just, if he's even your backup quarterback, I think you're probably in a little bit of trouble. I just don't think he's really that good. If he had to get meaningful game time for your team, you're in serious trouble. So maybe it's a sophomore slump and he turns out to be a Hall of Famer, but I doubt it.
Have you liked what you've seen out of Taysom so far?
He's been fine, but he's been working with a third or fourth string offense against third and fourth string defenses. And it's awesome. Like, he's got this great athleticism, but you know, that he'll never evolve into that pocket passer that coaches crave. If we had to pick between him and Callahan, I would probably pick him. But again, either way, if either of them are getting meaningful playing time, you're in trouble.
Dusty?
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines. I mean, Callahan showed out a little last year. He had, was it against the Niners? He had that insane throw in the preseason that just looked great. And he had a couple of those. But even at the time, I was kind of saying, I don't really think he's that good. You know, he's kind of showed up. He showed up a little for, you know, some preseason games against guys who might not even make the rosters of their teams. And I don't think he's that good. Like, he seems maybe intelligent, but he's very limited. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing I keep hearing, too, is that Callahan's been in the system. McCarthy likes him. Yeah, you know who else was in the system for a while? It was Graham Harrell. And then Graham Harrell was garbage. Yeah. So just because he's been there for a little bit, I mean, I get as your third quarterback, you just need someone to kind of know the plays and whatever. But I don't see it. I like Hill. I like what Hill brings. I mean, he's super raw. I mean, people got excited. Not got excited in the preseason game where he scored his touchdown, but that was like a break the pocket run. Like, he's not a polished passer by any stretch of the imagination. Like, whether or not he can get there, I'm not sure. Like, he might be able to, but his athleticism is exciting. So at this point, I mean, I think we've seen the best that Joe Callahan is ever going to be last preseason. And that's fine. Like, he had some really good plays in that preseason. I just don't think he's that guy. I think the guy we've seen in this preseason is closer to that guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if we're going to keep three on the roster, which I wouldn't be shocked just the way Hundley's played. I wouldn't be shocked if someone wants to trade for Hundley. Because Hundley's looked dynamite. Like, just really, really. Especially that second preseason game. Hundley's looked amazing. I'd like that three guy to be Hill.
Well, you heard it from the expert panel, guys. Joe Callahan, trash. Taysom Hill, possible. possible that he could be the next Steve Young.
This is why our podcast works. Dusty Jordan and I will say things diplomatically, and then John translates them into hot take material. It's perfect.
And I mean, we got Brian. You just led me in perfectly to our next segment, which I mean, you were making my job very easy tonight.
That's what I do.
You said sophomore slump, rolled with it for the next Twitter question. Now you said hot takes, and we got a bunch of hot takes from you guys through Twitter questions, which we absolutely love. But before we answer your Twitter questions, we actually did a little bit of thievery and stole a Packers question because we just thought it was that good that we have to bring it up and kind of break it down ourselves. And this tweet was stolen from Packers Nation. It is at @Nation_Green Bay. So give these guys a follow because this is the material that you're going to get from these guys. So very cool. The question is, would you trade Randall Cobb for a veteran pass rusher? And Dusty, I will let you open up this one.
I'm going to say no.
Of course you are.
I was going to say.
Randall Cobb went to Kentucky. Like, Dusty lives in Kentucky. There it is. That's all you need to know.
Graduated from Kentucky. Watched him through college. Know people who knew him. Like, all of that. Like, it probably is a smart move. Like, if I'm being honest, it probably is a smart move. But beyond my just massive love of Cobb, this offense, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I think I like talked about it every episode we've done so far. This offense is set up to be special this year with the options they have. And I think Cobb is a big part of that. You run that guy out of the slot. You put him in the backfield. I think with Bennett kind of clearing out stuff in the middle, I think Cobb is going to find himself open more than he has in a very, very long time. He still has – his top-end speed has never been amazing, but his quick cutting is just elite. Short area quickness and cutting is just insane. So I think he's set up in this offense to be absolutely perfect. Could they find someone else that could step into that role and be that guy? Like, maybe, but not as good as Cobb and not as well as he knows this offense. And with what he can bring, I really think he's set up to have a big year and do big things for this offense. I mean, that still leaves some concerns on the defensive side, but I'm going to kind of run with that anyway. Just because I think one pass rusher, I think, doesn't fix all of it. I think this defense is set up to be good anyway. But I think if this defense is going to have issues, one pass rusher doesn't fix all that. So I think this offense is going to have to score a lot of points anyway. I think Cobb's a big part of that. So I'm going to say no, in part because of my biases, but also despite of them. In spite of them.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Randall Cobb is primed for a good year. I have absolutely nothing against him. I'm a big fan of his. Like, if you're drawing up a trick play, like a wildcat play, or a play where somebody besides Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball, Randall Cobb is the first name that you're pulling out of a hat. But where I disagree with you is you said that a good pass rusher doesn't fix this defense. I think the exact opposite. I think this defense is one top-notch pass rusher from being elite. That's just, it feels to me like the one thing that they're missing. Like, what you've seen, even their backup defensive line against good offensive lines, like, we get push every time. There's interior pass rush, there's disrupting of the pocket, but we're not getting home. We're not sacking the quarterback, because the idea is inside of the defensive line, we'll get that push. You force a quarterback outside, and then that's where the outside linebacker defensive ends are there to get the sack, but we're not getting them. And it's a little concerning. Whereas if we had somebody who would push Clay Matthews into a number three role where he can just come in and situationally pass rush sometimes, man, what we have in the defensive line, you add a pass rusher to the end of it. I mean, cornerbacks aren't going to have to cover for very long. You can have guys like Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett just playing all over the place. So, yes, I would hate to lose what Randall Cobb brings to the offense, but we also have, like, what do we have, 12 receivers or something like that in camp right now?
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Where, like, yep. We're going to have to make some tough decisions and cut some pretty talented players at that position. That's the exact opposite problem at outside linebacker. So it's never going to happen, but I absolutely would.
Okay, so here's a question, because I think I've put no thought into this, so I've not done any research. So we'll see if you actually can come up with anything. So let's say this would actually happen. Let's say that some team would be like, yeah, all right, our pass rusher, our veteran, good pass rusher who can make a difference, we'll trade straight up for Randall Cobb. And then we'll say, okay, Trevor Davis steps in for Cobb. Trevor Davis just takes all of Cobb's snaps. And out of the slot, Trevor Davis would be insane. So, okay, that's fine. We'll still be fine on offense. Realistically, who are you getting straight up for Cobb? You're not getting any of the top flights guys, right? You're not getting like Khalil Mack.
No.
You're not getting, I mean, you're not getting any of those guys. So that realistically, who are you hoping for a return?
That was my question.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any research either, but it has to be like one of those second tier guys. Like, of course, we're not going to get Khalil Mack. We're not going to get Von Miller, but it has to be that like second level worth of guys. And
who are we getting? Coy Bierman? I just don't know Randall Cobb's value right now in the NFL.
I'm sure there's some value there, but it's definitely not high enough that we could get a legit top-notch pass rusher for him. And that's where, you know, my answer was all running with a hypothetical of the we're getting somebody worth it. But no, it has to be one of those second tier guys. And I don't think anybody would give up a second tier pass rusher for Randall Cobb. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, I think, where the question boils down. I mean, if there is, you know, some like actually talented vet, pass rusher that could make a difference,
mm-hmm,
that a team will be willing to, absolutely you do it based on our wide receiver depth. But I just think the pass rushers are super valuable, and to give up a guy like Cobb, yeah, for a pass rusher, I just don't think that teams would be giving up their a guy that could be an important piece to their defensive schemes and things like that. But
yep,
it's a very interesting question none the least. And it's very thought provoking. So we appreciate that, Packers Nation. And,
thanks for the free content, dude.
Yes, absolutely. And, onto the questions that you guys want our expert panel to tear down and decipher. And,
he keeps saying these words, expert panel, and it's awesome.
He's referring to me.
I know that, like I said, my job had been in jeopardy, and I just kind of want to sweet talk and buddy you guys up a little bit and get me back in the good graces of you.
You're doing good, John.
We see through it. It's like you're being very transparent, but we also just don't care.
Am I being fake about it?
Well, you're not being fake. You're just being very transparent. And it feels kind of pandering, but at the same time, you're saying nice things about us. We really don't care. So pander away.
Emo or hipster or whatever, he doesn't care about anything, so he thinks
just to be clear, I don't care about any of this. Like, nothing that has been said tonight do I care about. Like, it's all whatever to me.
It's just whatever.
It's whatever.
Guys, you know, this question I have for you is from Ike Sport Report, and he is on Twitter as Ike_Sport Report, and his question for you is, every year it's injuries or defense. Excluding those excuses, what are the Packers' underlying concerns for the 2017 season? Brian? Hello, Brian.
Sorry, the internet must have cut out or something. I didn't hear you say my name. All right. I mean, I was stretching. I really just don't care.
Stop flexing and answer the question.
I just
Brian.
Don't care. I was looking at my reflection in a mirror, and that was way more appealing to me.
I saw you. It's like an American Psycho thing. Knock it off, dude.
I'll start off with a quick answer and just say my only underlying concern would be just if number 12 went down. I mean, I view our offense as being arguably one of the best offenses we've had in the Rodgers era. And the defense is sustainable enough to hold the teams under less points than what Rodgers is scoring per game. So, I mean, concern is going to be just 12 being healthy for me.
Yeah, that's – I mean – There are, what, 3-4 surefire Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the league right now, and the only one that could get injured and his team would still be good is Tom Brady, just because of Bill Belichick. Yep. Like, the Saints would go from 7-9 to 0-16 without Drew Brees. We'd go from 12-4 to, like, 4-12 probably without... So skipping over that one, like, I've already touched on this one a bit, the pass rush, the outside, like the edge rushers, it's a concern. We just don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of depth. Kyler Fackrell is getting bullied yet again. Hopefully J'Ron Elliott will get the opportunities this year. Mm-hmm. If you've listened, we're all fans of him. I'm a major fan of his. I feel like he does well every time he gets a chance. I want more of it. But that's a big concern for me.
Can you dub J'Ron a nickname right now, Brian, so we can use it throughout the rest of the season?
Why would I do that? His name is so awesome. His name is J'Ron Elliott. Like, it doesn't get a whole lot cooler.
Can you call him, like, what is, like, what, like, the Superman, like, Superman's dad's name is, like, Kal-El or whatever? Can you know him, name, like, Ja-El?
Kal-El is Superman.
Like Ja-El, something like that. Jar-El. Something like the Krypton name.
Dude, do I really have to out-nerd you right now? Kal-El is Superman. That's Clark Kent.
What was his dad's name?
Jor-El.
Jor-El, I think,
Jor-El Worthy.
Jor-El Worthy. Anyways, J'Ron Elliott has one of the coolest names since TJ Slaughter. Like, that was, like, the perfect football name right there. But, yeah, so pass rush is one. We've already talked about the offensive line being a question mark, especially if there's no Bulaga. But even if there is Bulaga, the depth behind has to be a concern right now. So those are my two big ones, pass rush being the biggest one by far.
Dusty, do you have any concerns going into the 2017 season?
Yeah, I mean, mine is kind of what I mentioned earlier, just the offensive line. I mean, I kind of took this question from a perspective of if there were no injuries, because obviously Rodgers going down or, you know, any of the main players going down would obviously hurt. And so I kind of took it from a perspective of take away those things, assume everyone's healthy. What are the issues? My underlying concern is the offensive line. I mean, that's with Bulaga. That's without Bulaga. That's again, you lose two guards, two top 10 in the league guards over the span of 2 years, and they made do with Lane Taylor last year, and he was sandwiched between two good players, and that's cool, but now you replace him again with Evans, and Evans is fine, but like I mentioned earlier, Evans is aging and he's not played on this line. So even if Bulaga is healthy, you got two guards who Taylor's been with the team for a while, but I'm still not convinced Taylor is amazing. He just happened to be sandwiched between a couple really good players. But they have on both sides of the line, those guys. And that kind of trickles down. And we talked about that with the quick release game. You got to kind of change your offense from what Rodgers is used to doing. And then you're kind of hoping with the addition of with Montgomery and then with the draft they've had with the running backs back there, that maybe you rely on the running game a little more. Well, I mean, suddenly you don't have the open holes that maybe you're used to with that running game. And so maybe Rodgers has to pass a little more behind a porous offensive line. It's, to me, if you're looking at flaws, because that, like, that defense looks good. The pass rusher, I'm not overly concerned about that. I think that defense is going to be really good. I think Kenny Clark's going to do enough push up the middle to push that pressure back in the quarterback. I'm not overly concerned about the pass rush. I do think it's a problem, but not a huge one. If I'm thinking just underlying concerns, it's that offensive line, because if that offensive line has problems, it could be a long season. So that'd be mine. I think everywhere else, I think we look really good on it. So that offensive line is what looks a little concerning to me.
Man, I remember when we were breaking down what the episode was going to be in our pre-talk, and I just remember saying to you guys, I just don't want to sound or say an idiot thing tonight. And as idiot is as idiot does, I definitely just disregarded the first line of this dude's tweet. And he's like, excluding injuries. And the first thing I freaking talk about is an injury. I'm like, okay, I am done trying to throw in my tidbits of knowledge on you guys tonight. And
dude, you're just here to be a pretty face. Yes, just be a pretty face.
It is back. It is back to the expert. It is back to the expert panel.
John, you're Pack to the Futures Vanna White. Just keep it that way, man.
It's fine. Oh, she's had a good long career. Oh, she's a nice lady.
What is she, like 80 years old and still like rocking and like, she's still just rocking.
John would buy a vowel, that's for sure.
Yeah, her and Sajak have not changed in a solid 20 years. It's really impressive.
A little side note, a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I, for a very long time, I've wanted to make a movie about Pat Sajak's life, starring Pat Sajak. You know, everyone does these movies where another actor plays a portrayal of that actor. But I'm like, Pat Sajak's face is just so into it right now that he could be anything, right? He could be young, he could be old Pat Sajak. I mean,
Better to play Pat Sajak than Pat Sajak? Makes sense.
Sajak was like a songwriter or something, wasn't he? Or at least wrote jingles or something?
He could do anything as far as I'm concerned.
No, you know what you should do, John, is you should make a movie about Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek and have them play each other.
Oh my gosh.
Now we're making money.
This is the best idea on this show since just RELAX and Run the Table.
We need to make sure that this idea is copyrighted before this podcast is released.
I'm on the phone with Stephen Avery's lawyer right now. Talking about it. It's in the works. Guys, we have more Twitter questions coming, and I know you love the sound of that. And this one is from Kenny K. You can find him on Twitter at KK_Waters. And he tweets at us saying, which long snapper will be kept? Snappergate. Continue.
I don't have a whole lot to say on this. It's going to be Brett Goode. They brought him back for a reason. And Crosby hits all of his kicks when this dude snaps. I just don't think there's much more to say about it. It's going to be Brett Goode.
Yeah, and I don't really want to add anything. I agree with Brian. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kenny.
Even an idiot like me can say it's going to be Brett Goode. So,
crap, it's going to be hard. I'm going to change my answer.
Oh, my gosh. I love you guys. and we are now rolling on with Raj Singh has a question for us. And you can find him on Twitter. At Singh Raj Leo. So I'm assuming that his Twitter name is VJ Singh, Raja, mm-hmm. Raj Federer, and Leo Messi, all in one. That's cool. But
did you say Roger Federer? It's Raj, R-A-G, not R-O-G.
No, as we found out today, the J's and G's are interchangeable.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Full circle.
Raj,
full circle,
I apologize for John's ignorance.
You guys are so welcome for the full circle joke right there. And the question is, who do you all think survives the cut? Cornerbacks, D. Brown, L. Pipkins, wide receiver, M. McCaffrey, M. Clark. Should we just do this position by position? Let's break it down.
Yeah, it seems like that makes sense. Yeah.
I was giving you guys a lot of information. I know you guys are experts, but I will relay the information staggered to you. So the cornerbacks that he is asking about is D. Brown and L. Pipkins. Continue.
I'll go, maybe because we just had him on a show, and was that Brian? Brian, was that you that interviewed him?
That was a lot of fun, man.
Lindsay
Pipkins is awesome. And like, not only is he just seemed like a decent human being, like he showed out in preseason, man. Like he's made some plays. He plays with energy. He seems to be in good position. Brown had a really, really nice play in the second preseason game. Just perfect coverage. Played the ball perfectly in the air. Knocked it away. Something Jarrett Bush only dreams about. Donatello Brown did.
Something Jarrett Bush could only do in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. And never again.
But if I'm thinking about who of those guys is going to make it, Pipkins has showed out through two preseason games, and Brown's made a couple good plays. I like him, but between those two, I'm going Pipkins. I think Pipkins will make the team.
If I have to pick between the two, I am also going Pipkins, but I think Hawkins might just force both of them to practice squad status. But yeah. I agree on Pipkins, man. Like, what he could bring to the special teams as well, I think could be really good. And if he proves something as a gunner, then that might be finally the end of Jeff Janis, because that's the only reason Janis is being kept. But if we find another gunner, I think he'd be gone. Again,
Janis ran a route in a preseason game, though, Brian.
That was really incredible.
Your thoughts.
It wasn't even a fly route, man. It was amazing. Yeah, you look at this little juke. He got open. He created space. It was incredible.
Honest to God, ran like a sluggo that just fooled the cornerback, and I still can't stop thinking about, I didn't know he could do that. I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
Seriously. So it might be, as Dusty mentioned, I interviewed Pipkins, and if you haven't heard that interview, it's pretty good. Go check it out, if I may say so myself. So there may be some bias on my end, but he really has been good. He really looks the part. Like, he's got the size, he's got the speed, like, he's got all those measurables that you need out of a cornerback. And I'm not going to go out here and predict that he's going to be this year's Sam Shields, where he's just a starter by season's end, but I think at worst, I think he's going to be stashed on the practice squad and called up to the 53-man roster at some point during the season. That dude can play, and we've seen some big hits, we've seen some good coverage. He's a player. I like him.
He is. Yeah.
Shout out, close fan of the show, Lindsey Pipkins. We love you. And yeah,
we go way next, back.
Our next slot is going to be the wide receivers between McCaffrey and Clark.
Again, it's probably neither. Like, what Clark could bring in the red zone, being 6'7", could be crazy, but you can't, like, he doesn't do anything else. So you can't just stash him on a roster and keep him active every week just for those, like, two or three trips to the red zone. McCaffrey looks like a legit receiver, but he also looks like somebody that you can stash on the practice squad because he doesn't do anything on special teams either. So you're not going to keep a seventh or eighth receiver without a serious special teams contribution. So I say neither, but McCaffrey definitely has a better chance at it.
Yeah, I honestly, I want to see Clark make it. Just as Brian was saying, 6'7", like, I want us to go through the season. I want him to become a Bill Brasky type character. So I just want every episode with every week he's on. We're like, you know, he stands 7'1", weighs in at 350. Like, I want it selfishly for that, if nothing else. I think the red zone target. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to interrupt with a story. I don't even know if Josh, our producer, will remember this, but when Madden first came out with the, like, the storyline where you got to, like, make your own pro and you go through training camp and you get drafted, I remember him making one where he was a 7'1" receiver, and I remember him playing that a lot and talking about it a lot. So Michael Clark could be the avatar of Josh's PlayStation 2 Madden, 2009 career mode.
Well, Clark had, I think, was the first preseason game caught a touchdown. I can't remember if he did in the second preseason game. In the first one, he definitely did, and it was just like a back shoulder, back shoulder goal line fade. They just kind of went up and got. And that, like you said, that's, you get, God, man, can you imagine red zone where you've got Bennett, and then you also have a guy like Clark? Like, could
Bennett, either of those guys, you can toss a and jump Clark ball would be ridiculous.
Yeah, like, how do you stop that? That's like guys you can just throw the ball up to. So I think just based
throwing
on
Ripkowski as a decoy.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I think Clark could be the guy, but like McCaffrey looks like legitimately skilled. Like, he looks quick out of his cuts. Yeah. He can catch the ball. He looks like he belongs out there. But like you said, like, if he doesn't contribute much to special teams, you're already gonna have a hard time making this team anyway. I think neither of them. I think I would actually go McCaffrey if I'm picking between the two. Just because what Clark gives you in the red zone, I think, is not as good as what McCaffrey could give you everywhere else. And I feel like some of his skills are redundant with Bennett there. I would like to keep either of them. I don't keep any of them, but I think McCaffrey is a better player than Clark. At least now he is. So I'd go McCaffrey in that.
All right, guys. And, the last question we have from Raj is going to be the linebacking core, and that is going to be between Gilbert, K Calvin, and Hyman.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking right now at the depth chart. I'm looking at the linebackers. I mean, I like Gilbert. I think I'm going to pick one. I'm going Gilbert. But, like, there's a lot of guys that are just going to make that team. You're looking at linebackers right now. I'm looking at Clay Matthews, Jaron Elliott, Jake Ryan, Joe Thomas, Blake Martinez, Jordan Tripps look good, Nick Perry, Fackrell's not going anywhere. Like, that's a lot of guys right there, and that's without throwing in anyone else. I like Gilbert, but I honestly don't think a single one of those guys is going to make the team.
I'm going to say now that Reggie Gilbert is going to be the next Jaron Elliott, where he'll eventually make this roster, and he'll have 3 sacks on Russell Wilson and an interception and a forced fumble on Russell Wilson. And then for some reason that we are not privy to, we won't see him again for 6 weeks. And he'll just be that next cause of frustration to where we're like, where did this dude go? Like, maybe Elliott, it won't be
Elliott
Russell
finally
Wilson.
Finally gets time, but someone else does not.
You know, maybe this is what they're trying to do on defense. They're trying to get one linebacker that can play well against each team. So every time we play Seattle, Jaron Elliott's going to have 3 sacks and an interception. Every time we play the Arizona Cardinals, Reggie Gilbert's going to have 3 sacks and an interception. And just have that one specialist for each team. That's not a bad idea.
Pretty brave to have a 53-man roster and have a specialist for, like, each individual team. That's
Think about it. Like, if Jaron Elliott never plays against anyone else but Seattle, Seattle doesn't have any good tape to figure out what he can do and try to stop him. If Gilbert never plays until we go to Arizona, they don't have any tape and they can't figure out how to stop him. This is perfect.
Except they don't do that. They just sit guys on the bench. They don't do that. They don't do any of that.
Oh, man. I think that's what they're doing, man. It's the only thing that makes any sense.
It's called the long game.
It is.
Playing the long term. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lindsey Pipkins will be that guy that'll have 3 interceptions on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. There it is.
I'm here for it, man.
The last thing we have is there is a question to it, but before we get to the question, we have a pretty much what I'll call a demand from our own Sam, who writes for us, and
Dr. Sam. I think we have to call him Dr. Sam now, don't we? Science Dr. Sam.
He is a master of science now.
Yeah,
shout out!
It's impressive.
Our very own science doctor, who will be starting up his own sports science for us at PTGF.
Sure.
_TV. You can find Sam on Twitter at Sam_PTTF, and he demands us to answer all the Janus questions. And luckily for him, someone did chime in with a Janus question, and that is we can't go an episode without talking about Jeff Janus. He just means that much to all of us, and he means the most to Tyler Strenke. And you guys can find Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_Strenke. That's Strenke.
Our very own Tyler Strenke. He joined the team, what, a week ago, Brian? 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I think. Welcome aboard, Tyler.
Yeah,
welcome,
Tyler's been killing it. Tyler's awesome.
I'll have to read his stuff, and I'm sorry for not knowing that. But our very own Tyler says to us, it's a very serious question, it's very serious. It's going to be a very serious debate. Is Janus the second coming of Jerry Rice?
I'm going to say a definitive no here. Before I give my reason, I'll say, John, you're going to be really excited about Tyler, he's going to be taking over the article that you were writing last year. So not only are you off
Tyler,
the hook, but nobody has to be subjected to your writing anymore. So
thank you, Tyler, all good so stuff. Much. My article that got about 4 clicks a week, and they were all from me, and I read it thoroughly and got all the information I needed out of it. So, Tyler, I appreciate that, and I hope you just run with it, bud. And I guarantee you, what you'll be writing is going to be 80 billion times better than whatever I can come up with. That's a guarantee.
All right, so back to the question at hand.
Yeah, you're saying no? You're saying no?
Of course I'm saying no. Look, you can't say that Jeff Janis is the second coming of Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the first coming of Jeff Janis. Like, Jerry Rice was the precursor to what we were going to see with Jeff Janis wearing number 83 for the Green Bay Packers. Okay? Like,
he ran around, enough, guys. He ran
dude,
around.
Dude, there's so much disrespect of Jeff Janis going on. And, like, calling him anything but the greatest receiver to ever put on a uniform is disrespectful, and I've had enough of it. And stop comparing it. Like, it's an insult to compare him to Jerry Rice. Straight up insult.
My favorite is when I listen to 1250 in the morning, and they just do that Janis soundbite from, I think it was Joe Buck that just shouted his name one time. Janis! And I'm like, they just pipe that in about 8 times a show, just out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh yes, thank you for doing that. But Dusty, is Jeff Janis the second coming of Jerry Rice?
I dare you to top my answer.
I think Brian's answer was really good. I'm going to bring us down for a second. I feel like I've mentioned this before. I'm tired. I'm tired, guys.
You're beat. You're worn down. I'm
tired of people hyping up Jeff Janis and Aaron Ripkowski and holding up as saviors. We've got, and I know it's a joke. Man, I get it. And Janis ran a really, like, I want to say like a really nice sluggo, but at the same time, like maybe not because his feet were kind of slow. I just think the cornerback was just shocked that he could stop and go.
Okay, like, I'm lining up against Janis, just run straight backward. Here
but like go. Even that, like that touchdown throw, and then he had like the nice catch against Washington this past week. Both of those were perfect throws by Hundley, just perfect throws by Hundley, and like that's not talked about. Like, that's not talked about at all. But you've got Janis and people either ironically or unironically hyping up Janis. And he's a good special teamer. Like, I'll give him that. When you've got a guy like Trevor Davis, with the hands and the speed and the skill he can bring to that receiving position, and no one's talking about him. And you got people still that love Ripkowski for reasons I don't fully understand. I guess because he's a white fullback in Green Bay. Like, dude fumbled inside the 5 against the Falcons in the NFC Championship game last year, and no one's dragging him for this.
Thank
like
you.
Instead, Ripkowski is held up. This came a rant against Ripkowski. Yeah. Like, people are still like, oh, we got a running game. We got Ripkowski, man. Just give it to Ripkowski. No, don't give it to Ripkowski because we got Ty Montgomery and we got Jamal Williams and we've got Aaron Jones who's looked good. Maybe we got Devontae Mays. Like, again, Ripkowski has been fine. He's a good lead blocker, and he's made some good plays. But he fumbled inside the 5 in the NFC Championship game, and like the only reason a lot of people like him is because he's a fullback with a big beard, and he plays in Green Bay, and they miss John Kuhn. And
Dusty, I
want to
hug you so bad right now.
Like, don't get me started on John Kuhn because he was also fine, but John Kuhn is not. It was not the savior. John, like, it bothers me. It bothers me when you have these. It bothers me when you have these white athletes that are held up in such high regard by fan bases when you ignore everyone else. The people that were screaming for Janis to start and play are the same people that wanted Randall Cobb to be cut. And Randall Cobb's insane, right? Like, I don't think there's an appreciation for how good he is. And there's people not raising arms against Trevor Davis not getting playing time. And Trevor Davis is really, really good. But instead, you just want to talk about Janis and we talk about Ripkowski. And this is not really aimed at anyone. It's just something I've seen, and it bothers me that we have these great athletes and we have these like decent people on the team, but all we want to do is talk about Jeff Janis, who runs fast, but is like, aside from a Hail Mary and a couple catches here and there, has never really done much, and beyond that has not shown the ability to do much. So I don't want to rant for too much longer about it, but just that Janis does something good, that's cool, and I like that he's good on special teams. If they keep him around on special teams, that's cool, but I kind of just don't want to hear about him anymore. Like, until he can prove to actually be, like, an actual honest-to-God useful receiver on a regular basis, like, I don't want to hear about him anymore. I want to hear about, well, how's Nelson looking? You know, Adams took a step forward last year. You know, Trevor Davis is looking really, really good. Geronimo Allison, undrafted Geronimo Allison is just incredible. Did you see the juke move he threw on Washington last week? He was, like, I've not seen that out of him, and his catch radius is insane, and Randall Cobb is awesome, but, like, we just, like, Janis ran a route once. Like, I don't care. I'm just tired. I think I'm just done with Janis,
Dusty.
And I'm done with Ripkowski, praise. Like, I'm done with both of those guys. I'm fine if they're on the team, but I can't deal with the constant hype and praise of those guys anymore. So
Dusty, it would take about 16 hours for me to drive to you, but I'm about to get in my car and drive to you and give you a hug and just turn right back around.
That is about as fired up as I've heard you on this podcast yet.
It's about as fired up as I've been in probably about 5 years.
That was, beautiful.
Been angry about it for a while. It's all just been building up inside of me.
And if memory serves me recollect, the last time I remember a fullback making a play in Green Bay was the John Kuhn block on Peppers.
Yeah.
To open it up for Rodgers. That's about the last time I saw a fullback make a play in Green Bay.
And that's exactly how a fullback should be used. A lead blocker
That's the thing. Even then, like Kuhn, they were still using Kuhn in short yardage situations when they had Eddie Lacy.
Oh my god!
And I think Eddie Lacy was bigger than Kuhn. Like stop
and
stop
more
doing the 1 yard dive with Kuhn.
And everything just
yeah
yeah.
It's like Lacy was legitimately bigger than like linebackers. And they're running Kuhn for 1 yard dives at the middle. Like that's cool.
And
I get it. But everyone saw
time.
That. Everyone saw that coming. And he had some good games. I don't want to diminish Kuhn. And I also don't want to diminish Ripkowski. He's made good plays. I don't want to judge him based on one thing. But it's the praise of those guys that the constant praise and hype, whether ironic or unironic, just it just bothers me.
It's that sneaky Mike
makes
McCarthy
me uncomfortable.
Play calling. That sneaky Mike McCarthy play calling. What a sneaker that guy is.
What a sneaker.
Yeah.
So, sorry guys for yelling about stuff.
It's okay.
Oh, yell more. It was lovely.
Do you guys? Now that I kind of mentioned his name, do you guys hear that Mike McCarthy is like head of like a town committee that is like trying to block like a building of like a what is it? Someone's trying to build something in Mike McCarthy's hometown in Wisconsin, and he is like the spokesperson for his town, being like, no, that's not happening. And everyone's like, yeah, that's not happening.
And Wisconsin or Pittsburgh? Like the
no,
like where is it from?
It's in Wisconsin.
Huh. Oh.
Yeah.
I've not seen anything about this.
Yeah, I wish I remembered what it was that his community is protesting. But yeah, he is a spokesperson for it, and he's like legit like involved and talking at talking at like town meetings, and I'm like, holy cow. So
I've not seen a thing about that.
Yeah. That just speaks to the level of commitment that he has to this state and this organization. So regardless of his sneaky play calling, he is a good guy.
I like that.
But guys, that answers all of our Twitter questions, and again, we absolutely love this section as it was pointed out with Dusty's passion. You've never seen that type of passion come out before, and
that was beautiful.
We need that passion, and we need you guys to keep sending in Twitter questions. So, again, just keep sending those in. We love them, and we hope our next episode has just as many, if not more. But that leads us into the final segment, which is called Final Thoughts. And Brian,
yo,
what final thoughts do you have for us this pleasant evening?
Just one thing that I think is pretty cool. So major NBA trade happened, right? And I don't pay a ton of attention to the NBA outside of the Bucks, but it's Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas is the main premise of it. And I'm not going to get into the details of it because I don't care that much because it doesn't affect the Bucks at all. But what I think is really cool about it, those two were drafted, both of them, in the 2011 NBA draft. Kyrie Irving was the number one overall pick in that. Isaiah Thomas was the very last pick in that same draft.
Oh,
my. And they just got traded for each other. And I think that's pretty freaking cool. Mm-hmm. So that's all
awesome.
I have. That's my
that
final
awesome.
Thought. That's all that I'm, that's all that's on my mind grapes right now. So,
I feel like that trade is just, they gave up so much for Kyrie Irving.
If I can just add that in, for two years
of Kyrie, I think it's only 2 years as well, isn't it?
2 years.
So
this year and next year.
So think about it though, John. On paper, yes, they gave up a lot. They gave up Isaiah Thomas, they gave up Jay Crowder, and they gave up a first round pick. They don't need any of that
pick in the draft. Potentially the first overall pick in the draft.
But they don't need it. Like, how much room do they really have for another first round project? And, like, they signed Gordon Hayward, so they don't need a small forward. So Jay Crowder was expendable. So, like, yes, while they gave up more,
Thomas was also up after this year, and Thomas was going to want the max as well.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to pay Thomas anyway, so he was gone after this year regardless. Yeah.
So, like, they, I think, like, straight up on paper, Cleveland got the better end of the deal, but I don't know. When you just have these extra assets lying around, you might as well spend them. So I think,
I mean,
like,
a guy
they
like,
end up
a guy
pretty...
like Jay Crowder, a guy like Jay Crowder is a guy that you need to, like, I feel take you to the next level. A solid role player, super consistent, and I mean, they're gonna have to fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they do have depth at that position, but
crazy depth.
I mean, I just still feel like it's a two year loanee. I think that Kyrie showed in, you know, just his willingness to just call his own shot and get out of Cleveland. I think that just shows that, you know, when his contract is up, he is going to be fishing for whatever could be next. So.
But even if it's only a 2 year window, they are most likely going to be in the finals the next 2 years. So they have two legitimate shots in an NBA title in the next 2 years.
I agree.
So like, I would do that if I was the GM of the Bucks, and I'm like, you know what? We only get Kyrie for 2 years, but we have a 2 year window to go to the finals. I find that worth it.
Very good final thought, Brian. That was engaging and informative and very, very, very nice final thought. And
thank you,
Ryan. If you could do me the favor of just doing your whole what's happening with PTTF and your Twitter handle, and we'll move on to Dusty.
Dude, awesome stuff happening with PTTF this year. One of the things we talked about a lot last year was Dusty's film study. We're expanding that part. Ben Club is joining. We're going to have one or two other people joining, doing some film study. So a lot
of stuff has been
great
so far. He's had like three or four pieces, and they've all been just incredible.
Go to the site and look at everything Ben Club has done. It's been fantastic. You will not regret it. And so let's see, we have three or four other writers that have joined throughout the off season, and there's going to be more weekly stuff. There's going to be more special articles being written, just a whole lot going on, man. Just stay tuned because it's going to be a really fun year. And as for Twitter, find us as a group at PTTF_podcast. You find me as a man at PTTF_Brian.
As a man.
Oh, Dusty. Final thoughts.
Brian was really quick and to the point, and that was cool. I have three, and I'm going to be kind of rambling about them. Only one is football.
Buckle in, guys.
I'll start with the football one. So, guys, I'm listening. I'm doing something sad at the moment, and I'm looking at the Jaguars depth chart. And as was decided, I believe tonight, in one of the saddest things I've ever heard, they actually announced it. I think they thought it was a good idea. But ahead of the Jags preseason game tomorrow, Thursday, which would have happened by the time you guys hear this, I assume, the coach, Doug Marrone, brought Chad Henne and Blake Bortles into his hotel room, and he was going to announce the starter of the game there in that hotel room the night before the game, which is just like, I assume it was like a Motel 8 or something. Like, it just sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But that highlights something, because that's your two guys you're going up against. Their depth chart right now, number one is Chad Henne, who hasn't thrown a meaningful pass in like 2 or 3 years. I made a GIF recently of the last interception he threw, and when he was like 30, and it was just awful. Like, just staring down a receiver and throwing late to the sideline. Like, stuff that you don't do if you're like a second-year guy. He's doing it when he's 30. And then Blake Bortles. And Blake Bortles is, I think, older than Chad Henne, actually. So you got those two guys. And that quarterback situation is garbage. But you look at the rest of that roster, and you've got Leonard Fournier, starting running back. Chris Ivory behind him. TJ Yeldon behind him. You also have far down, probably not going to make it, Dewan Harris, currently on the Jaguars roster. So I found that out. So that's kind of, I always like Dewan Harris. And then you at tight end, you've got Mercedes Lewis, who not great, but fine. At receiver, You've got the Allens. You've got Robinson Hearns. You've got Aurelius Benz, who's good. You've got Marquise Lee, who's good. You got D.D. Westbrook, the speedster out of Oklahoma, kind of sitting back there as well. Like, a decent offense. Pieces on that offense. Then you look at the defense. You got Malik Jackson in the middle. You've got Miles Jack, who showed up pretty good last year, and I think he's primed to step up this year. You've got Jalen Ramsey, and they got Bouye as your corners, as your top two corners. Barry Church they signed. What I'm saying is they've got pieces all over the place, and the pieces they do not have are at quarterback, which I don't know if you guys paid attention to the NFL. Kind of important. I could see Kaepernick stepping in and being really, really good there.
Yeah.
Like, it seems tough. It's one of those things like this late in the game. It's one of those things where you kind of throw him in and you start him too quick, and then it's, oh, we didn't have time to learn the playbook. But, I mean, the numbers have shown that a running quarterback opens more holes and for the running backs. And so with the running back crew again, they have that. Again, the top three is Fournier, Ivory, and Yeldon. And Yeldon is not great, but he's their three on the depth chart right now. Like, they could have more holes to run through and bigger holes to run through than they would under Henny or Bortles. Like, that's a guarantee. And then you've got Kaepernick's athleticism. You've got a feisty defense. You've got tools on offense. Like, I think Kaepernick could be really, really good. It's I know it's been hard to kind of find a spot for him, and that's been part of it because he wants to be a starter. He doesn't want to be a backup, and a lot of the places would be backups. I think he could be really, really good in Jacksonville. I don't think they're going to call him, but I think that'd be a perfect situation for him. I think that... I don't know if they make the playoffs, because we were talking before the show. I think the Titans are going to be good this year. But like, aside from the Titans, it's not a great division. Overall, the AFC is kind of weakish. They could sneak in or at least be a little feisty, like 8-8 team. So I would love to see him there. I don't think it's going to happen, and it makes me sad. Next thought. I don't know if you guys listen to Brand New. I feel like we've talked about them before. They dropped a new album last week, earlier this week. They put up pre-sale for a vinyl that was supposed to be coming out in October, and the next day they just dropped it. I don't know if you guys have listened to it at all. It's their first one in 8 years, because Daisy was 09. It's so good. Have you guys listened to it yet?
Dusty, no, but I love you right now.
Great band. It's a band I know a lot of people have talked about, kind of how much that band has meant to them over the years. I'm not necessarily one of those people, because I just found them, like, just started listening to them at the behest of my older brother, like, about 5 years ago. But, man, between The Devil and God and Daisy, I've just fallen in love with them. Like, Devil and God just has just some of the best songs I've ever heard on that
album. Have you seen them live, by the way?
I have not, no.
Oh, Dusty, please.
I bet it's incredible.
Do yourself a favor. Just see them live and just sit back and enjoy.
Well, I think they're breaking up. Like, I think this is going to be, I think they've said this is going to be their last album. But
they also got a tour, though. You have,
it took them 8 years to make this. So if they break up and get together in 6 years, it's the same thing as them just always being together. So, like, I don't care. But, just having new music from them, and the weather's kind of getting cooler. I drove to work the other day with the windows down listening to that album, and it's bonkers good. It took me a few listens to get into. It's really, really good. So, big fan of the new Brand New. And lastly, man, I'm a sucker for old slasher movies. And there's a whole bunch I haven't seen because I got into horror relatively late. I watched this past week. I watched a movie called Tourist Trap, which came out in 79. And it's about this this guy who has this crazy brother that lives in a shed, and he puts, like, mannequin stuff on his face and then can control mannequins, and the mannequins kill people. And it's like this weird, like, goofy music during these intense scenes, and it really throws me off. But I loved it, man. It's different. It's something. It's totally bizarre, and maybe I was just in the right mind frame, but I finally got a chance to see it, and it was awesome. I really didn't know anything about it going in. So that was the 1979 Tourist Trap. Apparently a ton of fun. And the last scene, God, the last scene was just one of the best things I've ever seen. So so yeah, that's what I've got.
I know you probably have seen it, Dusty, but Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
terrific. Just terrific.
The best movie of all time, probably. right behind The Room, actually. But yeah. Manos, The Hands of Fate is a must-watch if you are looking for something.
I wish I could disagree with you, John, but I cannot.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous movie. And Dusty, where are you at? Where are you at on the Twitter?
You can find me at Dusty Evely. fairly simple.
At Dusty Evely, everyone. Mm-hmm. And guys, I have a final thought for you, and hopefully I get as passionate as Dusty was talking about Jeff Janis. And Earlier in the show, we had talked about Conor McGregor, and I'm going to kind of segue that into some MMA talk. And I got to say that I am just so deflated, don't know how to feel about the latest news coming out of the MMA about Jones Jones failing another drug test a day before the fight. The fight happened, took place. John Jones beat DC, and the news just broke that John Jones had tested positive for steroids. And this is just crushing news for most MMA fans, as they thought that John Jones.
He has the same first name as you.
I know.
How are you so bad at this?
And that is what is scary right
You've
now.
You've been saying that name for 29 years.
I don't hate it. I thought maybe his name actually was Jones Jones. He was selling it.
I think I'm just thinking Bones Jones and just combining John and Bones at the same time.
It could be, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so Jones Jones tested positive for steroids, and I just, number one, I think my initial feelings was I was so disappointed for DC again. He came out and said that he's not going to say an official statement until, you know, it is verified that, you know, he did take steroids. But, you know, if word comes out, which it's probably going to happen, that John Jones did take steroids.
You did it.
Yeah, like I said, I feel, number one, absolutely gutted for Daniel Cormier, as he is a phenomenal champion and fighter. Jones. And the fact that he has to do this all over again just makes me feel so bad for such a stand-up fighter that has been a phenomenal face for the UFC. And I think this could be the nail in the coffin for Bones Jones. When you start getting into this kind of I don't know what you call it, just the shenanigans that he brings to the table, it's so sad to know that he doesn't need to do this stuff to be an elite fighter, and he is just continuing to make poor decision after poor decision, and it really does frustrate me, and I wish him all the best, but mainly I think I'm just shouting out a little bit of encouragement to DC to just keep your head up, bud, and come back stronger, better, and don't let this get you down. And that is my final thought. And you can find me on Twitter at Johns Jameson. And yeah, like I said, guys, this is episode number 49. We are looking forward to dropping number 50 on y'all. And we've been having a blast doing this. I'm sorry for my absence for a few weeks, but I am back better than ever, I hope. And
can we say John's back?
We can say that John is back.
All right.
We can say John's is back. And, I give it up to we have such a phenomenal people that podcast with me that just super knowledgeable. And, I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are recording it. And for all of you GOT fans out there, enjoy the season finale. This season has been a little bit crazy. And
spoiler,
the season's been crazy. But yeah, enjoy the season finale. Enjoy the Packers on Saturday. Let's go, Pack, go. Woo. And it's official, guys. The Pack is... Can we... No, we can't say that.
We can't say that.
Guys, no. Guys, enjoy the rest of your week. And look forward to episode 50 coming from all of us here at Pack 2, the future. Bang, bang!
That was something.